Hello, and welcome back to the Life from the Wrist podcast. It's pretty incredible that we're already basically halfway through March. I feel like this year is really flying by. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of watches that have been released or some interesting watch news that's come out. Got a few things that we're going to talk about during this podcast, some cool watches that were released, some auction news, and then we'll end off with a little bit of news about the top 50 Swiss watch brands. So, we'll start off with a really interesting Elegant that was sold on the 2nd of March in Miami. It was a piece from Epijorn, who donated this Elegant to support the research against breast cancer that also affects men. And it is essentially a one-of-a-kind 48 millimeter Elegant with a white luminous dial and has a unique numeral 1 rendered in pink. And has a light pink rubber strap. It's a pretty incredible looking piece. If you've seen pictures of it, it really does stand out. Obviously, Elegants have become very, very popular. The watch was sold by Philips in Miami on Saturday, March 2nd, at the Maison Epijorn Miami. There were a lot of different bidders who were sort of battling out, and it eventually sold for $420,000. All the proceeds from the sale are going to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, which was founded in 1993 by Evelyn H. Lauder and is the largest private funder of breast cancer research in the world. And it invests in a wide range of research, including prevention, diagnosis, treatment, survivorship, and metastasis. Today, breast cancer is obviously one of the most common cancers in the world and surpassed lung cancer for the first time in 2020. About 1 in 833 men are expected to be diagnosed in the US each year. And so while male breast cancer is rare, it's typically more aggressive and more likely to be fatal. It's nice to see watch brands utilizing their watches and the platforms that they have to raise money for these types of illnesses or these types of causes. I don't know much about the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. However, the fact that all proceeds are going there, I think, is a great thing. And if the watch community can do something to help these types of causes, I really do think it's completely worth their time and energy, and obviously their generosity to donate these pieces and allow for watch collectors to raise money for these types of causes. As always, I'll leave a link in the show notes to all the things that we speak about. So if you want to see a picture and their press and Epijorn's press release about this watch that was auctioned off, you can check out the show notes. Another fairly large release that came out was that Audemars Piguet announced a Royal Oak perpetual calendar in collaboration with John Mayer, which has an incredibly gorgeous white gold case and groundbreaking crystal sky faceted dial powered by the caliber 5134 movement made in 200 pieces, each selling for just a little bit over $180,000. John Mayer was also announced with a new creative conduit title for Audemars Piguet. If there's anyone who I think deserves the ability to create a limited edition with Audemars Piguet, I think John Mayer is definitely the individual to do so. He's been an incredible proponent for Audemars Piguet for watches, and so it's really nice to see two powerhouses, I think, in the watch industry, Audemars Piguet as a brand, John Mayer as a collector and enthusiast, it's great that this kind of came out. The fact that he also is now this sort of creative conduit, it's a new role, but kind of acts as the bridge, or the way he describes it is it's a new role as acting as a bridge between collectors and the brand, someone who has his foot in both worlds, maintaining his status as a client while having close connections inside the company. It allows him to tell the story of watches he's passionate about to the collector community while returning their their feedback to the brand as someone who is still a client himself. The way that they created this dial, it is actually really impressive and beautiful to look at. Obviously, Audemars Piguet Royal Oaks have become somewhat of the largest and most popular watches to own and wear and to enjoy. At least in the last maybe 3-4 years, it's become really the staple. It's a nice piece. The blue dial I really do love, and I love how these sub dials are a little bit brighter than the dial itself, so I think they stand out really nicely. I think it's a great watch, and one that I'm sure 200 people, whoever gets allocated them, will enjoy a lot. It'll be interesting to see what other watches maybe John Mayer collaborates with Audemars Piguet on. It'd be nice to see maybe something from the Code 1159 as one of the pieces that they do together, or he informs the brand to release something interesting, so the brand isn't just all Royal Oak, Royal Oak, Royal Oak. I will admit, I think I've got a little bit of Royal Oak fatigue. I think it's definitely become the watch that you see so frequently, and they still remain as one of the most important watches, one of the best looking watches, but sometimes you really just want to see something else. That was my initial impression, but that doesn't really take away from the fact that this is an incredible piece. I stand by that statement for sure. If you are in the fortunate position where you could maybe speak to Audemars Piguet to get your hands on this, I think it'd be worth it. There's only 200 of them. Really cool first time that they're doing this type of dial. So there's a lot of really good sort of the makings of a really good watch. If you're looking maybe longer term, this is it's got a lot of those characteristics that one would be looking for. Another watch that was released, a very significant piece, is the white dial edition of the Speedmaster Moonwatch. Back in November, Omega had their Planet Omega exhibition in New York. At that time, Daniel Craig was actually spotted at the event wearing a white dial Speedmaster. Obviously, everyone was trying to identify what this white Speedy was, and if it was going to be released into production and be produced for everyone to purchase. And this last week we got the news that they are releasing they released the Speedmaster with a white dial Speedmaster written in red. Obviously the Speedmaster actually has a white lacquer dial, which is pretty impressive. You then can, it's a stainless steel cased piece, and you can get it with a stainless steel bracelet, black leather strap, or a black rubber strap. Of course, it's running on the Calibre 3861 manual wind movement, coaxial master chronometer Calibre 3861 with 50 hours of power reserve. Those obviously come with hours, minutes, small seconds, chronograph, and the tachymeter bezel. I think this is quite an interesting release. I think obviously there are a lot of collectors who would want to purchase this piece and have that white dial Speedmaster on their wrist. Because it came out, I was fully expecting this watch to be released in white gold first. That's often how things happen, but this was actually released in stainless steel, and I think that actually allows more people to enjoy this piece. So kudos to Omega for doing that. It's just over $8,000, which I think prices it quite nicely. Of course, Omega enthusiasts are going to definitely love this piece and want to add it to their collection. So nice that we kind of came full circle and we were able to identify what Daniel Craig was wearing. It was an interesting little teaser. I think as an ambassador, brand ambassador for Omega, I don't think Omega would have let him wear that piece to the exhibition without permission, because it hadn't been released, I'm assuming. So I think it was strategic on Omega's part to maybe, you know, build up some of the interest and hype over this piece. And of course, now that it has been released, I think everyone will have the opportunity to enjoy the piece. The last thing I want to talk about was the Morgan Stanley and Lux Consult report that they published on the Swiss watch industry's top 50 companies for 2023. The list had essentially sales figures for the biggest brands or Swiss watch brands, and what we really saw was that the big four luxury watch brands, Rolex, Patek Philippe, Audemars Piguet, and Richard Mille, strengthened, gaining 203 base points and securing an impressive combined 43.9% market share. It's really incredible that four brands can take up that much market share from the watch market. However, there were some strong performances around with all the other brands. If you look at maybe some of the winners of the list, obviously, like I mentioned, Rolex, Patek Philippe, Audemars Piguet, Richard Mille were really huge, but I think there was really strong performances from Hermès, Vacheron Constantin, and the Swatch Group, who saw a lot of growth compared to last year. There were some brands that were a little bit softer, Breitling being one of them, Omega, Tag Heuer, and Tudor being some of those. Longines was also a little bit weaker than last year, as well as IWC. It's pretty incredible when you actually dig into the numbers and you look at the charts that they've published. First off, if you look, Rolex has obviously dominated from 2017 to 2023 as the number one brand. Omega had that second place spot, but it was overtaken by Cartier, who really took over in 2020 and have been in that second place spot since then. Omega being in third after Cartier took over. And then Patek Philippe and Audemars Piguet have really kind of been battling it out the last 3 years for that fourth place spot. So quite an interesting sort of development for the brand. What I was really excited to see is that Longines, while they were the, back in 2017 to 2019, they were kind of in that fourth place spot, they still maintained pretty good results. And I think as a brand, they really do stand out as an incredible value proposition and a brand with incredible heritage. So after Richard Mille, then was Longines, Vacheron Constantin, Breitling, Tissot, IWC, Hublot, Swatch, JLC, Tag Heuer, Hermès, Tudor, Panerai, Bulgari, and then Chopard. That's just kind of like the top, you know, top, I think, 10 lists or 20 lists. If you really dig into the numbers, it's pretty incredible, and I'll just take Rolex as an example. Turnover was $10 billion with 1.2 million units sold. I mean, that's just insane, like, to think about. But it really, I think, puts into perspective the amount of watches that Rolex is buying. Second place was Cartier, who sold basically half the amount of watches than Rolex. And their turnover was $3 billion, which is pretty insane to think about, that the second place brand sold half the watches of Rolex and were a third of their revenues. So if you really think, if Cartier doubled their number of units sold, they still wouldn't be at the rate of Rolex. If you look at the brand, look for the brand that had sold the most, it was Swatch with almost 6 million units sold, 5.8 million. Then it was Tissot with 3.1 million, then Longines with 1.6 million, and then Rolex with 1.24 million. So kind of an interesting mix up there. I think what's really nice to see is if you look at maybe some of the brands that didn't sell as many units, because I think what you're really realizing is the amount of units you sell and the turnover for the years, they're not going to be, it's not like you'll be at the top of each of those, and that's how you get to places. If you look at, for example, Richard Mille, who's number six in the list, they sold 5,600 units for 1.5 million. So there's a lot of strategies that these brands can obviously take to sell and have a large portion of market share. The implied retail market share, which is really interesting to sort of look at, Rolex is at 30%. So basically a third of all watches are sold are Rolexes that are sold in the market. The next largest is obviously Cartier with 8%, Omega with 7%, Audemars Piguet with 5%, interestingly, Patek Philippe with 6%, and then you really drop off to basically 3%, 2%, and 1% market share for everyone else. So kind of an interesting makeup, I think. One of the things that I found very interesting is if you compare Audemars Piguet, Patek Philippe, and Vacheron Constantin, if you look at the units sold, for Audemars Piguet, it's 51,000, Patek Philippe, 70,000, and Vacheron Constantin, 35,000. If you look at their turnover, you're looking at Audemars Piguet with 2.35 billion, Patek Philippe with 2.05 billion, and then Vacheron Constantin with about 1. If you look at the market shares, you got Audemars Piguet with 5%, Patek Philippe with 6%, and Vacheron Constantin with 3%. So it's really interesting to see sort of the differences between what we would call the Holy Trinity and how that sort of shaped the market of these three brands. As you know, I'm a huge fan of all three of the brands, but Vacheron Constantin is obviously one of my favorites by far. It's a brand that I fell in love with really, really early in my sort of watch collecting journey. And so I've always been a fan of them and the pieces that they come out with. And I think over the last, you know, let's say 2 years, they've really released some great watches. What's also quite nice is if you kind of read down the list, you actually see some independents or, I guess, smaller watch brands come in. If you look down the list, Frank Mueller actually did decently, which is kind of an interesting one. You can see Jacob & Co. on the list, F.P. Journe at number 37, H. Moser at 38, Group of Forcey at number 50. So kind of an interesting sort of makeup of brands. If you continue to go down the list, you'll see some of those brands that I think many of us love and enjoy. I'll leave a link in the show notes to the Revolution Watch article where they kind of posted this. They did a nice job sort of summarizing it. And I think it is worth keeping in touch with what the top 50 Swiss watch companies were in 2023. I hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. If you are new to the channel, be sure to follow this podcast so you are notified when we upload our podcasts and you are able to listen to it as soon as it comes out. Let me know in if you want to talk to us about any of the topics that we've discussed in our podcast. We're always available on our social media accounts, so be sure to hit us up there. So after you follow, be sure to share this podcast with a friend who might be interested in watches. And if you wouldn't mind rating this podcast, it really does help me out. With that said, guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And until next time.